the outline for this sermon is actually quite simple. This morning, I'm going to talk about the Old Testament Jeremiah under four headings. Jeremiah's complaint, Jeremiah's call, Jeremiah's recovery, and Jeremiah's relapse. All right, his complaint, his call, his recovery, and his relapse. So I think we can do that, right? But here's what I want to hear, is the complaint. Isn't that a wonderful text? Jeremiah 20, verse 7. And you say, well, Jeremiah's a prophet. He's a holy man. He's like a preacher. He's sure about God and faith, right? A preacher is somebody who can powerfully proclaim the word of God. Jeremiah 20, verse 7. You deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. You hear that? That's an accusation. You deceived me, God. You called me to something, and you lied. God, I've been doing your work, and what you told me about it is wrong. That doesn't sound like powerful faith, does it? By the way, every preacher has said that. But let's be honest, have you? As a believer, as a follower of Christ, who somehow or another think if I follow God, things will go well. Right? That's not the Bible, by the way, but we tend to think if I follow God, things will go well, and things, guess what? Don't always go well. And then we're discouraged. I don't want to say this. This text isn't in the Bible for us to sit in judgment over Jeremiah. He was discouraged. I thank God I never do that. This is in the Bible so that we can see that the people in the Bible were like us. Jeremiah has been teaching. He's been preaching. He's been warning the nation. Who's listening? Nearly nobody. Jeremiah is the last prophet before the fall of the Babylonians. He's the last one. He actually sees with his own eyes. He's been preaching for years. If we don't turn, God's judgment is going to come. And God's judgment comes. Why he's called a weeping prophet. But imagine that with all he's done, he actually, at this moment, with the sincerity of his heart, he has turned to God and he has shaken his fist. Wow, right? We need to hear those words. Lord, you deceived me. I was deceived. Now, I want you to know something. In your bleak moments, you should pray whatever's on your heart. Right? We have adopted sort of a false form of holiness that sort of thinks that all we're ever supposed to do is say nice things to God. How many of the Psalms say, oh Lord, will you forget me forever? So by the way, whatever you're thinking in your head or your heart, God knows already. So go ahead. If you're having a good day, rejoice with it. When you think this stuff, it's okay. But I want us to notice something. In our discouragement, we don't always describe things accurately. Jeremiah says, you deceived me. I want to go from Jeremiah's complaint. I want to go back to Jeremiah chapter 1 and look at Jeremiah's call. Because the question is, did God actually deceive Jeremiah? God told Jeremiah, Jeremiah, I'm calling you. It's going to be really tough. All right? Jeremiah 1. Many know these words, by the way. Jeremiah 1, 5, where God says to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Wonderful. Before you were born, I set you apart. That sounds nice. And then he tells him in verse 10, today, I appoint you over nations and kingdoms. Listen to the next words. To uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Six verbs, four of them are what? Negative. Because the people of God have been straying. By the way, he's not preaching against Babylon, he's preaching against Israel. The people of God have turned away from the word of God. And if that happens, the prophet of God is not going to be a powerful man. Imagine this. Isaiah tells us that in this day, people called evil good and good evil. Right? Everything was upside down. Everything was turned the other way around. People People are doing what they want. I don't care what God says. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And if everybody's thinking that, what happens when somebody comes in and speaks the truth? Popular? No. And so God says that I'm going to have to send you to uproot. You're going to have to clear out the land before you build on it, right? You don't just take a house and throw it there. You have to clear it up. You have to grade it. You have to do some prep work. And then, by the way, not just that, you do have to build in the land. It's kind of funny, as Lutherans, we talk about law and gospel, isn't that right? The law rebukes our sin, the gospel shows us our Savior, and that's what's going on. He's saying, I have to clear out the land. We're going to have to preach against sin. Nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to hear it. He said, Jeremiah, you're going to have to go and do that. Now, let's be clear. He didn't say only rebuke. Right? We can get into that mode where we only rebuke, only criticize. That's not it. The church was not sent. Jeremiah was not sent. Only to destroy it. Jeremiah is sending you to destroy and tear down. No. To build and to plant. The Bible says that the law kills. And the word makes alive. Right? The word kills and makes alive. There have to be things in us that get put to death. And then after those things are put to death, then build and grow. So, we said, well, that sounds like a tough call. We might say, what if God tells us anything else about it? And the answer is yes. In verse 17, it says, stand up and say to them, whatever I command you. Now imagine, the word of God is going to come to Jeremiah, and he has to share that word, whether he wants to or not, and whether they want to hear it or not. Right? Say to them, whatever I command you, do not be terrified by them. Lord, I hate when you talk like that. What does that mean? Do not be terrified of them. That's going to be what? That's going to be terrifying. Right? That's exactly right. That's going to be terrifying. Don't be terrified of them, or I will terrify you. Jeremiah wasn't deceived. I thought God was kind of specific about it, wasn't he? Over back to Jeremiah chapter 20. That's Jeremiah's complaint. Whatever's in your heart, share with God. You go through a tough time and you question God, question him. Just tell him. Right? Come right out of it. What's on your heart? Lord, here's what I'm thinking. Lord, here's what I'm feeling. He's big enough to take it. But after Jeremiah's complaint and reviewing Jeremiah's call, what you want to notice is there is Jeremiah's recovery. Because we can get into a spiritual doldrums, right? We get in that period of discouragement. We have that. We have seasons of encouragement and seasons of discouragement. How do you get out? I know one thing you can't do. Jeremiah says, for a moment, I thought, every time I preach the word of God, it brings me trouble. Solution? Stop preaching the word of God. Right? He says, I can't do that. It's like a fire in my belly. I have to let it out. I was listening to a Baptist preacher this week. He said, are you fired up or are you burning up? Funny, right? You know, Baptist preaching is like that. It's awesome. But anyway, here's what he does. The first thing he does is he has to remember who God is. Who God is. Jeremiah 20, verse 11. All the negative stuff we've talked about. Verse 11. But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. See, that's him not looking at his problems. If I look down here, I see, Lord, look at the difficulties. I had said last night when you were pulpit and you're pointing out, when I said difficulties, I didn't mean the congregation. Right? Lord, look at my difficulties. And he's saying, no, look at me. Who's our God? Don't be terrified. Well, that's terrifying. Why not be terrified? Because the Lord is a mighty warrior. And sometimes we have our view too low. We're looking at our conditions, our circumstances. We're thinking, Lord, this is discouraging, and so I'm discouraged. The Lord is like a mighty warrior. He has to refocus himself on God. And the second thing he has to do is he has to keep eternity in mind. Eternity in mind. Listen to this. My persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. You hear those future tense verbs? Future tense, right? Circumstances now. Future tense means what? There will be a reckoning. This is an obvious question, but I'll ask it. Is there always justice done in this world? Nope. But this is what this says. There will be. There will be. Right? So we can look at the injustices and think, Lord, why do you let these things go on? And I don't know that he always answers that, but he does say, what? It will be set right. And we can get very burdened down when I see this going on or that going on, and Lord, I question it. And Lord, I'm doubting myself. Now, Lord, I'm doubting you. He says, no, it will. They will be destroyed. Maybe not in this life, but things will be set right. And funny enough, the third thing is worship. Worship. In Jeremiah here, and there's a lot of psalms that do the same thing, that they sort of talk about the dryness of life, and there's like a sudden shift. Lord, you deceived me, and I was deceived. Lord, the people have been working against me. Lord, I'm almost tempted to quit being a believer. But then he says, I have to focus on God. I'm thinking about eternity. Verse 13, sing to the Lord. Isn't that funny? Like out of the blue. Sing to the Lord. Give praise to the Lord. But there's a truth there, isn't there? That isn't there a good thing about being in this place? Like being in worship, doesn't it kind of refocus your thought process? That's why being in church right is a good thing, right? That's why the lockdown was horrible to me at the level of not being in worship. Because we're dealing with all the stress, the difficulty, but we weren't in here. And life goes on, and the stress, the difficulty, and we come in like, oh, I see it differently now. Psalm 73 is a beautiful psalm where it does the exact same thing. It says, it has 28 verses, so I don't memorize them, but take a peek at Psalm 73. And he basically says, my feet had almost slipped because I thought about the prosperity of the wicked. If you've ever thought that, again, you're not alone. That's in the Bible. He says, I thought about the prosperity of the wicked. They have no troubles. They have no burdens. Which, by the way, isn't true. But that's what it feels like. And he's going on and on about that. And the psalm shifts this suddenly when he says, until I enter the sanctuary of the Lord. Until. I'm here. So we'd say, wow. Jeremiah recovered. That's awesome. He was discouraged. And he thought about God and eternity. And he worshiped the Lord and he was feeling better. So our lesson as we read through verse 13. You know what the next verse says? It's not that things better. Jeremiah 20, verse 14. Cursed be the day I was born. May the day my mother bore me not be blessed. Guess what verse 15 says? Cursed be the man who brought my father the news. Guess what verse 16 says? Same thing. Guess what verse 17 says? Same thing. Guess what verse 18 says? Same thing. You read Jeremiah, you're in like a good place for a second. Sing to the Lord. Cursed be the day I was born. Okay, here's life, right? Isn't that it? Here's the deal. When is the Lord with you on this ride? Always. The Lord is my mighty warrior. And I am human, you are, and we're flesh and blood, and we ebb and we flow. It's good, it's bad, it's good, it's bad. When it's bad, it won't stay bad. Unfortunately, when it's good, it won't stay good. But when it's bad, it won't stay bad. Let's say this. The Lord is patient with us. Isn't that it? The Lord is patient with us. God heard all this stuff.